That was an amazing time of worship. I hope you were blessed. I know I was. I'm going to give Sam my crutches before he sits down. Pay no attention to the man with the crutches. All right. Now you can. I'm asking you to pay attention. So. All right. Hey, it is good to be back for a second week here with you all. It is a joy and honor. I think this is my sixth time here at Brighton Heights campus, so it's a joy to be with you all this morning. And again, welcome. If you don't know who I am, like, who the heck is this guy? My name is Ben Kendrew. I am the executive pastor here at Bridge City Church. What does that mean? I do a lot of the business sides of things. I do a lot of the pastor sides of things, like preaching. And connection groups and counseling and things like that. So, but it's a joy to be here. I just want to thank this. This is a great. It was a great morning of worship. I hope you felt that. And communion. It was amazing. So, but one of the things we're going to continue on in our sermon series called Follow Me. This is our last week of this study. And I just want you to think about this. How did you become a disciple? How did you first come to know Jesus as Lord, or the forgiver of your past, the leader in your future? When did you first accept Jesus, or when did you first come to understanding or experiencing God is your Savior, right? As we sang about and we took communion this morning, and I just want you to think about that as we kind of wrap this series up. It's important for us to understand what disciple means, or discipleship means, or the process, because there's all kinds of different thoughts and processes out there that are in the church of what that looks like. But you know, one of the key things that I came to understand as someone that's been walking with Jesus for a while, since 1990, and someone that's been in ministry for quite a long time, is that there's ministry inside of you. There's ministry waiting to come out of you. There's ministry that's still inside of me. I still have breath in my lungs, means that I have ministry in me. The same is with you this morning. No matter where you are on the same, we're on the same journey. We're on the same road. Some of us are a little further ahead. Some of us are just, you know. But within us, within each one of us, God has created you for ministry. God has created you to be his sons and daughters. He wants you to be a disciple, but he's created you for ministry. And maybe some of you need to hear that this morning. Maybe you've just kind of been sitting on the sidelines, or sitting from the stands, if you will, and just kind of watching. And I just want to call you, I want to just encourage you that maybe God has you here this morning because he wants you to understand there is ministry to be done, and there is ministry inside you. He's uniquely gifted you, like the fingerprints on your hands and the uniqueness of your eyes, right? He's given you unique abilities that only you can do what you can do. And he wants you to use that for his glory, right? Not out of duty or like I was sharing at our huddle time. We don't do this. We don't follow Jesus out of like duty, but we follow Jesus out of love and adoration and worship, amen? And so God has created you and I for ministry. We have ministry left in us. And I hope you get excited about that. I hope you see that as an opportunity that God wants to use you. And he wants you to use you here at this church. And maybe there's other things down the road, but God wants you to begin today, amen? I want you to begin today. When I first started to follow Jesus, when I began my journey, I got to Geneva College, a little bit north of here, right? I started out as a ministry major, and in Geneva College, they ask you to go and serve at a local church, wherever that is, just some local church. They want you to serve there and to begin to get your feet wet, to begin to be mentored, begin to be discipled, begin to be taught by those in ministry, those pastors, those leaders, whatever your field is. And so, you know, I hit the ground running, and I went to a little church in Zelenople, and I connected with some familiar friends, and they said, "Hey, we'd love to have you. You know, you grew up at the same camp as us. Let's do this." And I'm like, "Okay, let's do this." You know, and so I began to learn things, and in the ministry, I was particularly in this time of my life was a student. I was a youth pastor. I was working with students, middle school and high school kids, and I began to realize it wasn't just all fun and games and retreats and stuff. There were some serious things that were going on, right? And so they threw me into the deep end. They said, "Go take care of this." I'm like, "What? Have you ever worked with middle school boys?" Whew. If you have, how many have you? Let me see. If you, God bless you. God, that's God sees you, yeah, right. So it's tough. It's tough working with middle school boys. It's a blessing at the same time. But their strength is amazing. It's the middle school boys' strength is out of this world. I mean, they would sneak up on you, take you down. Like, all right, there's some serious things. But then underneath that, there was some spiritual stuff they were dealing with, who they were, identity. You know, does my dad love me? You know, different things like that. And I began to say, like, wow, there's a lot going on here in ministry. And I began to learn, and like I began to learn, and then the pastor pulled me aside and said, "Someday God is going to use you to be a pastor." You know, as I was a freshman and, you know, just kind of green and everything, fresh, young, whatever. That's gone, right? But I was young in the faith, and I was young in my calling, and this pastor said, "God is preparing you to do some ministry down the road." And I said, "Okay." 2 years later, I got my own church. My junior year in college, I got my first church as a junior at Geneva College, not senior pastor, youth pastor. Slow down, right? So I became the youth pastor at this church in Aliquippa, Hopewell area, and in that of itself, there's a lot of different problems culturally, a lot of different things going on there. I grew up in Beaver Falls. I understood some of it. Went to Geneva College. And I began to realize that what I learned in Zelenople, I began to apply immediately in the field of ministry at that church in Hopewell and Aliquippa. I began to understand, okay, everything that I was going through, everything that I was like, I'm never going to use this, I began to use, right? Maybe you're here this morning that you went through and you served at a different spot, or you went through a life experience or something on your journey along the way. You're like, why did God do that to me? What am I going to learn from that? Have you ever had that question? But I'm telling you, there's going to be a time in your life when you hit a crossroads in your journey where you're going to say, you're going to be thrown into a situation, and it's going to kick in, and God says, this is one of the reasons I had you there, right? And so that's what I began to learn as a youth pastor. I began to learn things about, you know, youth ministry isn't just about the students. It's also about the parents, right? And then you also have to work with the children's minister, Jess Jackson. She's awesome. Give it up for Jess Jackson. She's amazing. But you have to understand, like, when you're called to a ministry, like, there's more to it. And when you're called to different things in your life, God gives you the assignment first, and then he equips you along the way. And that's what I came to understand. And so what I love about this series called Follow Me, Pastor Rick and the other campus pastors, we've been kind of studying this. And kind of our launching point is out of Mark 1:17, and it should be coming up on the screen for you. And it simply says this: "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately..." Not when they had time, not when the Steelers game was over, not immediately, they left their nets and they followed him, right? And so there was this call. Jesus went to them. He was their teacher. He was their rabbi. He saw something in them that they didn't see in themselves, quite frankly, right? And he said, "I come and follow me." And so that word become has this connotation of drawing out or building up, this kind of image of a construction that God is building us up, that he was teaching them how to become fishers of men, and what it meant to follow him. That's what he's calling them to do. That's what he's calling us to do, right? We said last week that following is different than Instagram and Facebook and all that nonsense. Following is following with God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's everything that we got. There's no half-heartedness there. It's with everything that we have. And so when Jesus says this in Mark 1:17, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you become," right? And how do they become? They spend time with Jesus. They spend 3+ years or so with Jesus, and they learn from him. They learn about their shortcomings. They learn about their rough edges. They learn about the things that they need, right? They learn about what Jesus' passion meant. They learn about the Holy Spirit. There's all these things that they were learning along the way. And so they understood, I'm being called into ministry. I'm being called to something that's bigger than myself. That is the same for you and I this morning. Do you know that? That you're being called to something bigger than yourselves. They're being called to ministry, right? Christianity is not just a spectator religion, right? When you follow Jesus, it's with everything that you have. It's all that you have. It's passionate. It's all that you have, and he's calling you to follow him. And you're becoming more like him. And so our big idea today is, like, when we're following Jesus, when we're giving all that we have, when we're seeking to make disciples, when we're living and acting and thinking like Jesus, we're going to multiply people. There's going to be people in our lives. There are going to be people in this church that we're going to multiply. They're going to grow in their faith. They're going to grow as disciples. And so these are the things that's going to reproduce in others. These are the things that you're going to see that are going to happen. Like when you throw a rock into a pond, those ripple effects. These are the things that happen, right? When we multiply disciples, we reproduce it in others. Jesus' power, right? We get his resurrection power. We just sang about it. We just had communion. We get that power and authority that's given to us and promised to us in and through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That's a mighty thing, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. We also get Jesus' purpose. His purpose was this thing called the Great Commission. It was one of this mission that he sends the disciples out. We're going to get to that in Matthew 28. It was to do the will of the Father, right? It wasn't to say, Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do something. I'm really looking to do this type of ministry. No, we get to get the call from Jesus and from God first, and then we get to go out and make disciples, right? What do? We do that by his purposes was to teach people about God's ways and follow him through baptizing them, right? Or baptizing them, which is an outward expression of an inward faith that seals you and marks you as a disciple. Being baptized is an amazing thing. It's one of the other sacraments or holy rites that we do with communion, but baptism is another one of those that we're gonna, so it produces a Jesus's purpose in them. And then the third thing is it gives us Jesus's presence. And we felt that this morning. I hope you felt that this morning when we were singing and we took the communion, right? That in all that we do, this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. In Matthew 28, he says, Jesus promises to be with us always to the very end of the age, right? I have been left. I have been left as a little boy at the store by accident by my mom. She turns and she's gone. I'm like, Mom, where are you? I'm looking at the football magazines or whatever. She's gone, right? I have been left. But Jesus promises never to leave you or forsake you. That should excite you, right? And so we have Jesus's power. We have Jesus's purpose. We have Jesus's presence with us as we make disciples. And that's a great concept for us to grasp a hold and maybe think of differently. So at Bridge City Church, it's about ministry. Everything what we're doing is trying to point people to the power of Christ and the presence of Christ and the purposes of Christ. You know, for instance, on November 5th, which is next Sunday evening, we're going to be setting in Pastor Eric Bender. He's a great man. I'm honored to serve alongside of him. And he's going to be set in as the campus pastor, our Murraysville campus, right? But it's also an opportunity, and I invite all of you to come. This might be an opportunity for you to also to step in to what maybe God has placed on your life. Maybe you're wrestling with it this morning. He's got ministry for you. This is going to be an opportunity for you to see that lived out as our church, but also calling you to step forward as well to do ministry. Amen? So don't miss out on that. But there is ministry inside you. I'm going to say that a bunch today. There is ministry inside you, and it can only happen when God's Holy Spirit comes and calls us out, but we have those three things that we're looking to do. So if you turn with me to Matthew 28 in your Bibles or your app, it's going to be on there. We have this thing called the Great Commission, right? This is post-resurrection. We're on the other side of Jesus's resurrection from the dead, and he's appeared to his disciples, and he's appeared to a bunch of different people, and now we have this idea, this beautiful truth, and this beautiful image of what we experience in and through Christ, right? And so it shows, as we sang about, this kingship of who Jesus is, right? So Jesus, with his disciples, he's on this mountain, he's establishing his kingship, that he is the Son of God, right? He's calling them to ministry, but he allows his disciples, he wants them to experience them. This is, you have to understand that this is post-resurrection. Think about that. All that they had been through, all that they had seen, the betrayals, the denials, right? The people that are arrested, beaten, the crucifixions that were happening, and now we're having this moment, right? This beautiful, like, just this moment that's happening here with the disciples, and he's pointing and showing them that he is the resurrected king, that he's redeeming and he's restoring and he's calling them to ministry and he's doing different things, right? So in this section, he's proving that he's God's son, right? It verifies the truth of scripture, who he is, right? In this moment, he's verifying scripture, right? That everything that the Old Testament talks about culminates in this moment where now he's calling the people to be the church, to go to do the ministry, to do the will of the Father, to have his purposes, to have his presence, right? He assures us of our future resurrection. I don't know about you. I had this past year alone, my wife Melanie and I, we lost 3 family members, all within a month of each other. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. We lost people, right? But we have the hope. We have the hope that one day we're going to see our loved ones again because of the power of the resurrection. Amen? Right? In this section, we see that the entire structure of the Christian faith at this very moment in Matthew 28, rests on this foundation that Jesus is the king and he is resurrected from the dead. And he's pointing them. This is the power. He's saying, you are my resurrection people. Do you believe that this morning? That Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, you are a resurrection people. That you're created for ministry and God's got some great things ahead for us. Right? I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Right? Right? And in this moment, right, he says, you're the heavenly priesthood. You're the ones that are going to go out. You're going to one that's going to pray and prophesy. You're the ones that are going to cast out demons and baptize and teach. At this moment, this is what's happening, right? And so it gives us this power for Christian living. It's not some hoax or some fluky thing, but it's a real living thing, this relationship that we're called to have invitation. I don't know about you, but I want to give my life to that. I want to be part of something like that. I want to be part of something bigger than myself, right? I feel privileged and honored, but I feel humbled and like there's so much I don't know. But when I've been called to ministry, I've been called to different places here and there, but God has shown me I've got more ministry for you. And I hope you have a perspective shift. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you go, Pastor Al, you don't know what I've been through. And I don't. God does, right? But he has ministry. He's got gift sets for you. He's given maybe just an idea or a heart. You know, think about what breaks your heart, right? The things that break God's heart, maybe that aligns with you, right? We have a mutual friend that there's the human trafficking that goes on, and she's part of the different ministries around the Pittsburgh area. Her heart breaks for that, and so she aligns with that, and God has called her to be a force for that. Whatever your ministry is, I don't know what it is, but I know this. You're called for more. You're called for ministry. You're called not because we need volunteers. We don't. That's a bad word, right, Jess? We don't use that word at staff. But when you're called it's a privilege and honor to be part of this thing called Christianity, to be part of God's kingdom, right? It's an honor to be able to do this, to serve, right? And so that's what I love about the Great Commission. It is one of those things that it's this call that Jesus sends out post-resurrection, and there's so much more to it. And I don't know, maybe if you've never heard of the Great Commission, right? You think of painters that maybe have been commissioned to paint the Sistine Chapel or commissioned to do sculpture, right? Here is Jesus' moment. He's commissioning his disciples in this moment in history, right? And he also commissions us as his followers today to go and do the work of the Father, amen? That's what you're called to do. That's what we're called to respond. We're going to respond to this ministry that's placed before us, right? Look at Matthew 28, 16 and 17. Look what this says. This is their response. And I find this true as a pastor and as myself. I've been on both sides of this. Then the 11 disciples left Galilee. Like, this was a part of where they were. They left Galilee and they went to the mountain where Jesus told them. Anytime there was significant things, it was usually on a mountain. Think of the Ten Commandments when they were given. This is kind of the same thing. This is fulfilling scripture. And so here we have Jesus told the disciples, go to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. In verse 17, when they saw him, Jesus, what'd they do? They worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus when they saw him. They were moved. They worshiped him. But then look at that second part. But some of them doubted. That is the tension that we live in, isn't it? That there are times where we all have these mountaintop experiences where we can worship Jesus until we're crying and goosebumps and you just feel it. You know what I'm talking about. But then there's other times, what do? The slightest bit of injury or trouble comes, what do? We doubt. We give him up. We say, crucify him. I didn't know Jesus. We give up. And so we have this tension here that we see, right? And so there's this word, they fell down on their knees. I wish I could fall down on my knees, right? That we can worship Jesus. I saw Sam today raising his hand, just worshiping the Lord, right? You could feel it in the way our worship team, they were worshiping the Lord Almighty, right? And says, so they began to worship him. They began to understand that. And they did it out of adoration because he was the resurrected king, that he was raised from the dead, right? And it was just an amazing thing. But then there were some that doubted. There were some that doubted. Why? Right? You have other people that just doubted. They that word there is distanzo in the biblical. It means double-minded or two-minded. It could mean going two different ways. And I think of a crossroads, a different intersection, right? And here we have the disciples at this moment in Matthew 28. They are standing at a crossroads in their relationship with God. That he's commissioning them to go do mighty things, right? But what did they do? Some worshiped him at the crossroads of life in this moment of faith, and then others doubted. I don't know where you are or what you're going through right now, but I know that some of you are doubting. I almost fell there. Did you see that? But some of us we want to worship God, but then there's times we doubt. I have been there. Oh, man of God, pastor that I am, I have doubted. I'm telling you, the struggle was real. I understand. I understand what it means to have doubts. But I also understand I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to choose at that moment in the crossroads, I'm going to worship God for who he is, right, and all that he's done, right? So there's this, you know, we want to move from doubt to this hesitation, right? We want to move from that. We want to move from doubt to worship wherever we are in life. And so this morning, I don't know where you are, but I want to ask you, maybe at the end of the service, like we're going to just have an opportunity to respond, but to respond in a way, God, help my doubt, help my unbelief. Remember when Peter was walking on the water, if you are a fan of The Chosen, that's one of the best Christian things out there, I think, shows. Most of that stuff is cheesy, but this is like legit. Right? Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, and Jesus says to him, why did you doubt, right? And so that's where we meet. We're coming to the point in our life. Maybe you're at a crossroads right now today where God isn't giving you an invitation. He says, will you worship me or will you doubt me? What will your response be? And that's the tension that we all live in. We all live in this tension, right? How can I do this? We ask these questions. We ask these in the unguarded moments. Maybe at night you're just sitting there or you're driving. How can I do this? I don't have the skill set. I don't have what it takes, right? How can I do this on my own, right? What is the meaning of all this? We try to search for meaning and significance. Sometimes following God is that step of faith and there's just a mystery to it, right? But sometimes there's a certainty about it as well, right? We all wrestle with doubts, but we all can't stay in our doubts. We have to keep moving forward and respond in faith, and we have to respond in worship, right? So this moment, this doesn't faze Jesus at all in this moment at Matthew 28, right? He knows that some worshiped him, and he knows some doubted him, but it doesn't faze Jesus from giving that word and that commission. This is important. If these guys don't respond in faithfulness, we're not sitting here this morning. Right? And I love that. So they have this great commission. The great missionary Hudson Taylor said, the great commission is not an option, but a command to obey. I'm going to say that again. The great commission is not an option, but a command to obey. It's not an option for us if we get around to it. But it's a command to obey. It's a call to obedience. This isn't just a Bridge City thing, right? This isn't just some product. It's what the church, the big C, Jesus' church, this is what we're called to do, is to respond to the Great Commission in obedience with all that we have, heart, mind, soul, and strength, all that we have, right? And so that is the good news. That is the good news that Jesus is saying to these disciples. Come and follow me. Come and do the ministry. You have what it takes. I'm going to equip you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the gifts. You're going to go through some things, and you're going to use those experiences. The same is for you today. The same is for us. And I love that he's speaking in this. Look at 18 through 20, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is it. This is affectionately known as the Great Commission. This is the stuff. Highlight this in your Bible. Put a star around it. Highlight it on your little app. This is it. One of my churches where I was the senior pastor, we had up in our sanctuary, reach, grow, send, to kind of summarize what the Great Commission was about. We were a Great Commission people, and that's what we're called to be as the church. This is what Jesus came to tell and said to his disciples. I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, say go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Right? We just can't keep it locked inside. We can't, you know, practically as believers, we've got to demonstrate and teach people what it looks like to follow Jesus. You might be the only Bible some people ever read. Right? And so that's what we need to do. We need to be able to teach them how to obey all the commands that Jesus has given them. Listen to this last part, and I've said it already. This is Jesus' promise to them and to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, say always, even to the very end of the age. Do you ever feel like you're by yourself? God, where are you? Like your prayers are just bouncing up off the ceiling like a beach ball, right? And here we have a promise that he says, I am with you always. I hear you. I cry with you, right? But I cheer you on to keep moving forward in your faith, right? And so he says, go and make these disciples. Make disciples. Help them understand that they're with Jesus and they're one of his. They belong to him, right? That his presence is with us. And I know I need to hear that. You know, there's times when we get busy doing the stuff of ministry as opposed to being in God's presence, right? We're called to be witnesses, right? Not do witnessing. So here we have this understanding that Jesus' presence is with us. And sometimes in the hecticness and the busyness of your schedule and your pace, we just need to be in his presence, that he's with you, he hears you, right? If it's in the shower, if it's in the car, if it's at a walk, wherever that is, Jesus is with you. He hears you, right? And then what I love is he gives you this authority. Now, I'm not talking about some college RA authority. I'm not talking about a, you know, military authority. I'm talking about the authority of Christ that he gives you, right? That you should feel this confidence and this courage and this boldness to go out and proclaim the love of Christ and what he did. And what we just did with communion, what we sang about, there should be a boldness and confidence that just spills out of you, that you can go and proclaim. That's the authority that he's talking about. That's the authority that we have that we can proclaim to that. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you have authority? I'm gonna tell you, you do. You have that authority to go out and tell people because Jesus is with you, right? It's this idea of the biblical word akousia, which is authority or delegated power, right? That's delegated or given to us as believers, as disciples, is that when we go out and live this stuff out, right, that we have this delegated authority to go and make disciples, right? In other words, help people to learn and practice the Word of God, to actually read the Word of God, right? There was an image back in the day of someone had a Bible, and it was covered in dust, and someone took their finger and wrote, "Read me." Right? And so we need to be students of God's word, right? We need to understand God's ways by getting into God's word, right? We need to do that. And we need to go in there and we need to help people understand through belief and practice, putting this stuff that we talk about and sing about into practice, right? When someone is mean to you and you turn the other cheek and demonstrate kindness, right? That shows them Jesus. When you apologize to your spouse and don't yell in front of your kids, you're demonstrating what it looks like to lead well and to live well and to have this understanding of what it means to practice and live out your Christian faith. And that's exciting to me, right? And so this is what did disciples do? We've been kind of unpacking this and looking at it. But they're learners, they're followers, they're doers, they're students, they're pupils. We talked about the rabbi. They're the ones that would follow after their rabbi. So Jesus is this new rabbi for us. But they follow the teacher and they follow his teachings. They imitate, if you will. There's a very famous book called The Imitation of Christ by Anselm. I think it's Anselm. But the book itself, that's the big thing. It's called Imitation of Christ. And what it is about imitating our lives with Christ and following him, following what God tells us to do. Turning our thoughts and ideas into actions. There are some things that have happened over this past year that have people had thoughts and ideas. What was the name of the animal, Jess, that we brought the serval? I don't know what that is, but she had that idea. That was from Jess, and she had this idea and brought it out, and the staff was like, "Yeah, that's great. We don't know what that is. Is that like a liger or a tiger mixed? I don't know." But she had that idea and brought it, right? And so we have these ideas and these thoughts. Each one of us are made for ministry that God wants you to take out and say, maybe there's an idea. Not everything's going to work, okay? Make sure we're not going to start a karate class for everybody, right? I've been to churches with that. That's not, but there's some ideas that you have that are God-ordained, that he wants you to be maybe the spear point. Like Pastor Gary can't do everything. You know, Sam can't do everything, but maybe you can. Maybe you can do that thing that he's called you to do. So they're turning thoughts and ideas into actions. There's a complete obedience. Not a partial obedience, not when I get around to it, but a complete obedience, right? There's a study by the guy named George Barna who said that the average American who considers themselves a faithful attender attends church one time, out of four Sundays is one time, they attend one time, they're considered a faithful follower. I don't consider that complete obedience. I just don't, right? I know life happens and you work and things like that, but Jesus went to the cross and I can't even get out of bed, right? I can't even show up and worship him and adore him, right? And so he requires this complete obedience. And that does mean showing up and doing life together with brothers and sisters, laughing and crying and helping people get up and down a platform with crutches, right? And then one of the things I like about Bridge City Church is we have connection groups. And we have this teaching, we say for our coaches and our leaders, we have say when you're in your connection group, look for the I see in you moments that you maybe see leadership potential in somebody. And the truth is there's I see in you moments all around us. We just have to be aware of that, right? So we call those apprentices. We're looking for people to come up, right? And I'm looking at someone to take over that, right? I'm looking someone to help, You know, it's maybe to lead worship or be the parking or work at children's ministry, whatever it is. But we're looking for that apprentice type mentality and heart to serve Jesus' kingdom and his church. Amen. Maybe that's you here this morning. And then finally, there's multiplication that happens, right? There's a ripple effect when you throw a stone in the pond that boom, there's multiplication that happens. Jesus's church grew because of this multiplication principle, right? There's a big difference between just sitting around being mentored, but then being discipled. That relationship is going somewhere, right? Jesus has a purpose and a plan. That relationship is going somewhere. It's a leading to obedience and faithfulness in his followers. That's what he's calling you to do. Are you excited about this? I hope you're excited. I sure hope you're excited. John 17:4 says this. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. What did he call him to do? What has he called his disciples to do? What has he called you and I to do? And the work is to make, to do the will of the Father, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, to make other disciples and so forth, right? That's the will. That's what we're called to do. So Jesus says that in John 17:4. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me. Now, we're called to step up and step in, right? To do the work of the church. Now, the church, big church, is the vehicle that God uses to carry out the work now. And we get called to be part of that. You get called to be part of that and to do that. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in and through you in this church and this campus. It's really exciting. So one of the things we have coming up, we have this thing called Growth Track. We're going to talk about it, but Growth Track is a means for you to kind of take your next step and think about what it means to be actual disciple and follower of Christ. And there's different tracks for you to grow, but it's not just something for you to do to keep busy, right? We want you to continue to be vibrant and growing and glowing and living and shining for Christ. We want you to attend these things, right? It's going to be November 19th, at the North Braddock campus. But listen, this is an important thing. If you're kind of flat and stagnant, maybe Growth Track is that thing for you that's going to kind of ignite and send you on a different trajectory in your faith. And what I love about this, we have Growth Track, we have other different ministries out there. But within ministry, there's this opportunity to have relationships with people. Right, I had the privilege and honor to with Michelle and Tom, Rachel, at the North Braddock campus where I typically attend. We did life together, we did ministry together. I got to see him function in his prophetic giftings and things like that. And so that's the thing. Like, we get to develop these relationships. But when we're in a relationship with Christ and we're living out the Great Commission, there's significant roles and relationships that we all need to have in our life. Right, you have your wife, you have your friends, but there's other people spiritually that you're going to need. We have the Paul and the Paulette, right? This is someone that's going to disciple you. This is someone to teach you in the ways of God and the ways of Christ, and it's going to help you along the way, right? We're going to imitate this person, so you need a Paul and a Paulette. Do you have a Paul and a Paulette in your life today? I hope you do. If you don't, come see us. We want to help you find that person, right? I don't mean actual Paul or Paulette. That's just kind of but you know what I'm saying, right? You want that person, that man or woman to mentor you, but take you from mentoring to discipleship, to grow in your faith. How about this? The other relationship that we all need to have is a Barnabas and a Barbie, right? Not the toy, but we need a Barnabas and a Barbie, a man or a woman that's going to be a source of encouragement to you. When you feel down, do you have that person, that Barnabas or that Barbie in your life that's going to encourage you? I'm talking about outside of your husband and, you know, your husband or wife, whatever, but somebody else in the church. This church is full of them, right? A lot of Barnabases and Barbies I see here. Even before I got up to preach, there's been a lot of encouragement and things like that. I love that. You need to seek those types of relationships. So we need a Paul and a Paulette, someone to teach you. We need a Barnabas and a Barbie, someone to give you an encouragement in your life along the way. And then you finally need a Timothy and a Tabitha, someone that you can pour into, someone that you can see. I see in you potential, and I'm going to teach you what I learned, right? I don't have it all together, but I'm going to just obediently, faithfully teach you what I've learned, pouring into someone else along the way. Are you looking behind you and seeing people follow you? I hope that you are. I hope that you're seeing people within this room and this sanctuary that you can pour into. Young couples, if you're an older couple, look for some young married couples to pour into. If you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, look for a young man or woman that needs to be a Timothy or a Tabitha to pour into their life. It's important. You need these relationships in your life. right? The biblical word we have here is this word koinonia. Koinonia is this fellowship, this longing that we have. It's this intimate relationship, this spiritual communion that we get to participate in along the way. 2 Timothy 2:2 is the founding verse of Bridge City Church, and it says this, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit and teach these things to faithful men, women, who will be able to teach them also to others," right? And so we got to be able to see a process along the way. We have elders coming up. We have youth leaders. We have student leaders and children's workers, things like that. We have people that are coming up along the way that are be able to teach. And so as we multiply and make disciples, we're pouring into others. And what they're going to experience is Jesus' power and authority. They're going to experience the purpose of doing all those different things that the Great Commission mentions, right? Your character, we're going to demonstrate holiness and follow him and what a prayer life and a devotional life looks like. And then we're going to have this presence that Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. In 2 Timothy 3:10, there's this passage that it says, but Paul's writing this, it says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach," right? And he says that because Paul and Timothy had a good relationship, right? Teacher and student. "How I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance." And he says that not as a braggadocious way, but he says that I was out of a mentor, a teacher, a discipler, a father to a son spiritually. This is what he's saying. You know what I'm like. And so do we have that, right? Are we pouring into people and bringing them up along the way? Paul said, "When you see Timothy, you see me." In Philippians, he said that. "When you see Timothy, you see me." Is he saying that he looked like him? No. But what he saw was there was a fingerprint of Paul on his life, right? When I talk with Sam, I can see Pastor Gary's fingerprint on you. When people encounter you, do they encounter Jesus' fingerprint on your life, right? Do they see that? Do they have that encounter with you? 1 Corinthians 11, here's just another scripture, 11:1-2. "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." This is Paul speaking to Corinthian church. "You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And I'm so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts, that you are following the teachings I passed on to you." And so you can see this isn't just some lofty idea. It was demonstrated over and over again from the Gospels to the letters through Paul. And it's demonstrated today in the church. And we're called to be part of this. Do you see it? We're called to be part of that. And it's a privilege and an honor, right? And so maybe you this morning are at a crossroads in your life, that Jesus has come to you and he says, "I've placed some things on your life. I want you to do things for me. I'm going to invite you to ministry. I understand the doubts and struggles you have, but I want you to lay those down and I want you to follow me." Will you be willing to do that this morning? Will you be able to let those doubts down and follow him? Because I can tell you this, following Jesus is an exciting way to live. It's not always easy. Don't get it twisted. But it's exciting. It's amazing to see what God can do and do through different people, right? When we reach that crossroads in our lives, do you see yourself as a child of God, a son, a daughter that has been created for a purpose, that has his presence, right? And then has his power. I'm going to invite you to stand. So the tension with us all this morning is this, is that when we hear this invitation of the Great Commission, some of us will worship him with all that we have and we'll give all that we have. And you keep going, you keep doing that. But then I'm going to tell you this, there's others of us here, and I've been there, I've been that person, when he's placed a call on your life for ministry and you go, "I don't have, think I could do it." That's what I first did when I got my call to ministry. "I know what pastors do, I don't think I could do it." Because he doesn't want us to just rely on our own strength. He wants us to rely on his strength and his spirit. He wants us to let go of our fears and our anxiety and lay them down and follow him, right? And so I want to ask you to pray right now. Just bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to just give an invitation this morning. Heavenly Father, I just pray for those right now that might have doubts. And maybe that's you this morning. If you've got doubts, I just want to just say a prayer for you, Lord, that these doubts are crippling. These doubts are heavy. They cause us from moving forward. and experiencing all your blessings that you'd have for us. So I pray for my brother or sister here this morning, that would you just lay your just hands up in the air, just if you want to, just as a demonstration of you're just releasing that to God. Father, take these doubts, take my fears, take my anxiety, take my depression, and Lord, would you transform me, renew me, redeem me for your purposes. Lord, may that I would know that your promise is that you're never going to leave me or forsake me, so that I can walk in your power. And Father, I pray for those that are walking strongly in you, that are walking in step. Though we're sure we can do better, but Lord, we're slowly becoming more and more like you. And so, Father, I pray for that man or woman this morning that is walking with you boldly, that is going through some heavy stuff, but they continue to press on and to continue to walk in your way. May they be a resurrection people that doesn't give up, that continues to move forward, that doesn't make excuses, that's going to walk in obedience, that isn't going to church hop or blame things, but are going to take ownership of their faith and walk in your ways. Help us to be disciples, to give you and to worship you all that we have. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.